The fourth glorious mystery, Mary's Assumption into Heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Many years after Pentecost, in the presence of John the Apostle, Mary realizes that the time has come for her to be reunited with her Son in heaven. And she tells John of the tremendous jubilation she feels. She sees that John is weeping and asks why. John says, "Because the storm of sorrow is stirring up in me. I know that I'm about to lose you. How shall I be able to live without you? I feel my heart being torn to pieces at the thought. I shall not be able to stand this grief." "You will stand it," says Mary. "God will help you to live, and for a long time, as he helped me. He will help you to live and to remember what I have told you for the welfare of everybody." Mary reminds John of his strength and of the comfort he gave to Jesus when he was dying on the cross. She says she feels an unsustainable light growing within, like that which enveloped her when she was conceiving Christ and when he was born. And she continues, "And he will satisfy my only wish, the only thing I want, because love, when it is so complete as to be almost perfect, as with the love of my Son and God, love achieves everything, even what, according to human opinion, would seem impossible to achieve. Remember that, John. Love and be not afraid. In proportion to how you love, God will help you, and he will make you triumph over everything and everybody. The measure of my capacity of loving is full. My soul and my body are no longer able to contain it. Love overflows from it. It submerges me and raises me at the same time towards heaven, towards God, my Son. And his voice says to me, 'Come, come out, ascend to our throne and to the Trinity's embrace.' The earth that surrounds me disappears in the bright light that comes to me from heaven. Noises are drowned by this celestial voice. My moment for the divine embrace has come, my dear John. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
John has calmed down a little, although still somewhat upset, listening to Mary. And at the last part of her speech, looks at her ecstatically, and almost enraptured as well. He rushes towards her to support her, and he exclaims, "You are like Jesus when he became transfigured on Tabor. Your flesh is shining like the moon. You are light. You cannot stand. Come, I will help you to lay your tired, blessed body on your little bed. Rest." And he lovingly leads her towards the poor bed on which Mary lies without even taking off her mantle. Folding her arms across her breast, closing her eyelids on her kind eyes, bright with love, she says to John, who is bent over her, "I am in God, and God is in me." John struggles against the tears that rise from his heart. His beautiful voice, as years have gone by, has become very like that of Jesus. Mary notices this with a smile, saying, I seem to have my Jesus beside me. He intones Psalm 118, which he says almost entirely, then the first three verses of Psalm 41, the first eight of Psalm 38, Psalm 22, and Psalm 1. He then says the Our Father, the words of Gabriel and Elizabeth, the Canticle of Tobias, and the 24th chapter of Ecclesiasticus, from verse 11 to 46. Lastly, he intones the Magnificat. And when he arrives at verse 9, he notices that Mary does not breathe anymore, although she is still natural in her posture and appearance, smiling, peaceful, as if she had not noticed that life had stopped. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
John, with a heart-rending cry, throws himself on the floor at the edge of the bed and calls Mary. He bends over her face, still fixed in an expression of supernatural joy, and tears stream copiously from his eyes on that sweet face and on those pure hands so gently folded on her breast. When the first transport of sorrow is over, John, remembering Mary's wish, picks up the edges of her wide linen mantle and the edges of her veil hanging from the pillow. He spreads the former over her body and the latter on her head. Mary is now like a statue of white marble laid on the cover of a stone coffin. Then he rearranges the room, removing all superfluous furniture. John then lights the lamp as it is beginning to get dark. He then hurries down to Gethsemane to pick as many flowers as he can and some branches of olive trees with olives already on them. He comes back up to the little room and in the light of the lamp he arranges the flowers and the branches around Mary's body as if it were in the centre of a huge wreath. He then pours out his heart to her, as though she were still alive. Then, after he has arranged everything, he sits on the stool, placing the lamp on the floor near the little bed, and he contemplates the body that is lying on it, praying. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
It is much later. How many days have gone by? It is difficult to ascertain. If one judges by the flowers that form a crown around the dead body, one should say that only a few hours have gone by. But if one judges by the olive branches on which the fresh flowers are lying, branches with leaves already withered, and by the other withered flowers lying like relics on the cover of the chest, one must conclude that some days have now gone by. But Mary's body is exactly the same as it was when she breathed her last. There is no trace of death on her face or on her little hands. There is no unpleasant smell in the room. On the contrary, an undefinable scent, like that of incense, of lilies, of roses, of lilies of the valley, of mountain herbs, all mixed together, hangs in the air of the room. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
All of a sudden, a strong light fills the room. It is a silvery light, shaded with blue, almost phosphoric, and it becomes more and more intense, making the light of the dawn and of the lamp vanish. It is a light like the one that flooded the grotto in Bethlehem at the moment of the divine nativity. Then, in this light of paradise, angelic creatures show themselves, with a light even brighter than the already strong light that appeared first. The angelic creatures place themselves around the little bed. They bend over it, lift the immobile body, and flap their wings more vigorously, increasing the sound that existed previously. And they go away through a passage opened miraculously in the roof, as miraculously as Jesus' sepulchre was opened. They take with them the body of their queen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Then, like a wave overflowing a dam, an intense radiance flashes from the top of the little house, which is surging with angels' heads and wings and bodies. I can see our mother in their midst. They are carrying her in their arms. She seems like a child, sleeping and dreaming sweet dreams. She is completely dressed in white, or rather a pearly grey, of brand new, very fine linen. She is wearing a coat, a veil, and a long train of fine linen that might be her winding sheet. Her face is no darker than the linen. It seems made of magnolia buds, and her delicate eyelashes draw two somewhat dark commas on her snow-white face. Her hands are joined on her maternal womb, as high as the stomach, with her fingertips pointing towards her groins. These hands seem to be shielding the womb which was sanctified by God's incarnation. They also seem like magnolia petals laying on her snowy clothing. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I can see the angelic cohort as it soars. The cohort's ranks are swollen by many angels coming down swiftly from the serene sky to meet them in a holy haste to venerate their queen. As the earth becomes more distant, I can see how small it is. It is a handful of dirty mud. As heaven draws nearer, I can see that Mary is emerging from her deep slumber and seems just about to awaken. Her face colours slightly, like the face of someone coming out of a swoon. Her lips, parting as she begins to breathe more deeply, turn a redder blue. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mary slowly opens her sky-blue eyes, while the sky, so close to her, surrounds her with its blue depths. By now the handful of mud, the earth, is no longer visible. It has disappeared with all its miseries. Mary's eyes are opened. She can see the angels. She smiles and sees the angels smile. She lifts her eyes higher and higher until she sees God's glory. She stands up. The angels hardly need guide her, but they remain around her. it appears that she no longer needs any support to be assumed. She is already the Queen of Heaven. The angels are only spiritual servants surrounding her to smile at her. Mary, standing straight, is happy. Her hands are crossed above her in an act of adoration. The cohort of angels sing in the midst of their now unbearable light. At this point, Mary is also a dazzling light. Her veil, train, and tunic are no longer linen. They are immaterial clothing, spun from diamonds and embroidered with pearls, such as I always see on her. Her beauty is increased with indescribable majesty. She seems to be younger, eternally young. She is no older than her Son and Lord. In the angels' midst, Jesus is coming to greet her. She seems to be beauty at the side of majesty. The heavens close behind the procession, which has entered amidst incandescent flames of love and of heavenly harmonies. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Going back in time, John has been disturbed by the light, the current of air from the open roof, and the sounds. He realizes that a wonderful event has taken place. He runs out on the terrace and looks upwards. And he sees. He sees the body of Mary, still deprived of life and completely identical to that of a person asleep. It ascends higher and higher, supported by the angelic group. Some flowers, the ones that John had placed and renewed round the body of Mary, which have certainly remained among the folds of her garments, rain on the terrace and on the ground of Gethsemane. And the mighty Hosanna of the angelic group moves further and further away and becomes fainter. John continues to stare at that body that rises towards heaven, and, certainly through a prodigy granted to him by God to comfort him and to reward him for his love for his adoptive mother, he distinctly sees Mary, enveloped now in the beams of the rising sun. She comes out of the ecstasy that had separated her soul from her body. She becomes alive, standing on her feet, and she now enjoys the gifts typical of bodies already glorified. It is a vision that no pen of man and no human word or work of artist will be ever able to describe or reproduce, because it is of indescribable beauty. And the God love grants a last supreme prodigy to his perfect loving disciple to see the meeting of the Most Holy Mother with her Most Holy Son. Splendid and shining as well, handsome with indescribable beauty also, Jesus descends rapidly from heaven, meets his mother, and presses her to his heart. And together, more shining than two major planets, he returns with her whence he came. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
His vision over, John's joy now exceeds his sorrow. He thanks God for allowing him to witness the reuniting of Mary and Jesus. Then he gathers up the flower petals and other remnants remaining on the little bed and says to himself, "They will serve to assist and comfort my brothers, for whom I have awaited in vain. Sooner or later I'll find them." He puts them in the chest, closes the lid and says, "Now everything is also accomplished for me. Now I can go freely, wherever the Spirit of God will lead me. I can go and sow the divine word that the Master gave me, so that I may give it to men and teach love. Teach them so that they may believe in love and in its power. Love will be my weapon and my doctrine, and by means of it I will defeat the demon and heathenism and will conquer many souls. I will thus continue the work of Jesus and Mary, who were perfect love on the earth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, and bring all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy.